This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
One big phone company.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Today could be the day the FCC says yes to AT&T's $85 billion plan to buy Bell South. Last night, AT&T made some consumer-friendly concessions. It won't charge web companies like Google premium fees for faster subscriber access. It also agreed to upgrade the availability of high-speed internet service. AT&T said it would bring back some 3,000 jobs that were outsourced by Bell South. The FCC could approve that deal as early as today. The North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il could be planning to use the London gold market to get around financial sanctions. The U.N. formally imposed those sanctions after North Korea claimed to have detonated a nuclear device back in October. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The sanctions are designed to prevent Kim Jong-il from raising foreign currency and using it to fund his nuclear program. But gold sales are not covered, and the dictator seems keen to exploit the loophole. North Korea has relisted with the London bullion market. The Times newspaper here says Kim could be poised to sell as much as $250 million worth of gold a year in London. North Korea has plenty of the yellow metal. Production is thought to have dwindled after a series of floods and mine collapses in the 1990s, but at least one London-based investment fund is ready to put money into the sector. No one at the fund could be contacted this morning. No one at the London bullion market was available for comment either. A spokesman at the North Korean embassy here was quoted saying, "It's all just blah, blah, blah." In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
After the markets closed today, Apple Computer will release its twice-delayed annual report. It will probably contain the findings of a three-month probe into its accounting for stock options, particularly those backdated ones given to CEO Steve Jobs. This week, Apple shares were buffeted about by reports of forged documents related to options granted to Mr. Jobs. The Wall Street Journal is reporting the company will also restate its earnings for 2004 through 2006 to take into account those backdating problems. How much do you know about your 401k plan? There's growing pressure for reforms that would improve investor protections on those retirement programs. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli says congressional leaders are pushing for hearings.
The Government Accountability Office says investors can't tell from their plan's disclosure information whether they're getting a good deal. Now there's a series of lawsuits. St. Louis attorney Jerome Schlichter's firm is suing several companies, including mutual fund giant Fidelity. Schlichter says the suits target fees and a lack of transparency in how they're charged.
People have not been able to determine what the fees are, and the complaints allege that the fees are excessive.
A new pension reform law wants investors to have more information about 401k plans. The law makes it less risky for companies to give their workers investment advice. Jerome Schlichter wants more reform, starting with full disclosure of all fees.
And a corollary of that is reduction of those fees with the full light of day shining on them.
Add in mounting allegations that some retirement plan managers have conflicts of interest, and you can see how a push for greater reform may become unstoppable. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Yesterday, the Dow gave away 9 points to 12,501. The Nasdaq was off 5 points to 2425. And the S&P ticked down 2 points to 1424. This is Marketplace. The auto industry expects slumping sales figures for December, but Marketplace's Sam Eaton reports one company should buck that trend.
You can blame the economy, the housing slump, or higher gas prices for the projected 6% drop in U.S. auto sales this month. But there's one glaring problem with that, says Edmunds analyst Jesse Toprak, Toyota. He says the Japanese automaker will likely see a 7% jump in sales, replacing Ford as the U.S.'s number two automaker.
It seems like nothing can stop Toyota this year. They seem to have the right product mix, right image, right momentum in the marketplace.
In contrast, Ford sales are likely to sink nearly 20% over last December. Ford has been especially hard hit by declining truck sales. Of the big three, GM is expected to fare best. The world's largest automaker is projected to post only a 5% drop in sales. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org. And by the NASD Investor Education Foundation, helping inform today's investor. Online at nasdfoundation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. In terms of entertainment, when you look back on 2006, it's tempting to do some name-dropping. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, Borat, and YouTube. Mike Spire is the managing editor for the Daily Variety. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
So let's play word association. I say Pirates of the Caribbean, you say?
Mega money. It's a huge movie. Everyone says that the old studio system of making huge blockbusters is going away and everyone's focused on the small movies. Pirates is a huge film. It's in the top five of all time worldwide, and it just shows that studios are in love with making huge movies.
Well, they're in love with making lots of money.
Correct. So they're in love with making huge movies that do well.
Of course. Here's another film. It received both praise and some lawsuits, I think. Borat.
Yeah. I mean, if Pirates is the example of overspending, then here's a movie, Borat, that is the equivalent of nothing, which is make it for nothing, get picked up for nothing, and make a lot of money. But it also shows that the movie business never knows anything, because it's either going to be a major, major movie that costs a lot of money, or it's going to be something small that makes a lot of money. So there's room for everything.
Let's talk about TV. What about American Idol?
No one wants to keep talking about American Idol, but it is the singular most influential show on television. Other networks change their scheduling around it. The show keeps bringing in the ratings. It keeps making people very, very wealthy. It creates megastars like Carrie Underwood. It creates ratings. It creates money. People want to be associated with it, and it's still the number one show on television.
Google buys YouTube. How big was that? How big is that going to turn out to be in the future?
We'll have to see how big, what they can do with it, though for news value, strict news value, the purchase of it, I think it was more than $1 billion, was one of the most, in fact, the most influential and expensive deal of the year. Why? Because, first of all, it was in shares, not cash. And everyone said, how can a company like YouTube, which hasn't been around very long and is really just about putting your own home videos up, how can that sell for so much money? But they did. For a reason, and Google knows what they're doing, and they bought it because they know that when you get a video on your email, when someone sends you a little clip, usually it's from YouTube, they want that audience.
Look into your crystal ball. Is there anything coming down the road, anything you've heard that you think might really impact consumers, make a lot of money in 2007?
Well, I think that if 2006 was the year that broadband took a very major step, whether it was in the workplace or the home, in terms of getting people connected, I think 2007 is the year it really takes over and gets rid of dial-up. And that's a big deal for corporations and for businesses and for people. Because like the CD did for the record business and the DVD did for the videotape business, broadband will do for the dial-up business. It will change things. It will digitize things. It will make everything come together quicker, faster, and that's what America wants.
Mike Spire is a managing editor for the Daily Variety. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great holiday weekend.
American Public Media.
They call them the Big Three.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.